The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
If I was on day one, if I said I wanted a horse, on day two, if I got the horse, you know what I'd be saying on day three? What horse? I'd be off to the next thing. And so I think God doesn't wave a bony finger at us, but I think his message to us throughout the scriptures is to want him.
Best-selling author Bob Goff helps you identify the obstacles and distractions keeping you from the life you've dreamed about. Next.
Hey, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh here with Randy Robeson, and I am really excited about today's program.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I read a book called Love Does quite some time ago, and honestly, it was one of those books that's life-altering. It shifts. It was like I felt I had my eyes washed a second time. So I am very excited to welcome our guest today, the one and only Bob Goff with Dream Big. Welcome.
Hey, thanks so much. I'm so glad to be with you guys. And thanks for making time to just visit a little bit.
Oh, yeah, this is great. And we love the technology so we can have you here, I don't know, a lot more often, because it's you don't have to fly all the way from San Diego to be with us.
Yeah, exactly. I should set up my own little TSA. I could wait for an hour. Yeah, go through the scanner. Sweet Maria Goff these days is like, you know, pretty anxious. We don't talk about viruses and all that. She talks about glitter. So we say, don't get the glitter on you. It's what? Like living with Dr. Fauci. What? Yeah, we just don't want to get the glitter on us.
What does that look like practically? I mean, if you lived with glitter, what would it look like for the rest of us?
Yeah, do you know what we're doing is this idea of being socially apart. But what if we went a mile deep with our relationships, with some of the questions we ask? This is just a beautiful time to reset, to think about why you're doing what you're doing, what do you want, and what are you going to do about it?
That's why I think, Bob, that your book is a perfect time, because the title of your new book is Dream Big. And I would think that during a time of crisis, a lot of people are shrinking in as opposed to dreaming big. What do you
it's
have to
really
say to that?
True. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are just we're kind of confronted with your own insecurities and fears. Mm-hmm. And I think half the people that are watching right now are, you know, afraid they'll lose their job. The other half is afraid they'll keep it. but this is this chance to say, what's an ambition? Like, what's something you want to do? I got a set of bagpipes upstairs, and now I don't want to get a kilt, but I'm like, I'm speaking your language, Sheila. So. But I'm not going to get a kill, and I'm not going to paint half my face blue. But I've been curious about this, and I just think whether your ambition is big and lofty, like going to the ends of the earth, or if it's even more practical, like going to the ends of your street.
Right.
And to say, what can I do for the people that God's put within reach? And for each of us, it'll be different. But I just want to do courageous things. And for each of us, God doesn't grade it on a curve. He mm-hmm. just says, do what's courageous for you.
Wow.
I have a serious question, but you sort of missed my cue. I was trying to set you up for some glitter, some a display. Is there anything you can do to?
Oh, yeah. Right here, baby. Right.
You got
boom. Oh, does this? Oh, it's not going off. I always have at hand confetti cannons. Didn't work. It's probably going to go off in the middle of the night.
That'll work.
Awesome. I think living lives filled with wonder and surprise and anticipation. I'm on the Enneagram, kind of that personality test. I'm a flaming seven.
Are
like
you?
The enthusiast, right? So I tend to have my eyes towards the horizon, but I think what our faith talks about doing is also being very aware and very present where you are. And so I think that's for each of us. We're navigating how to look towards this hope for the future, but be very aware and present right now. And I think that's where some of our dreams are born. They're just an awareness of who we are, where we are, and what we want.
Yeah, and that's true. But you know, you mentioned the Enneagram, which I find very interesting, because it's easy for you guys, your sevens, my daughter's like that, you dream. You just naturally dream, and your dreams never die. But for a lot of other people whose personalities aren't quite so optimistic and hopeful, when they look at the circumstances that they've faced, especially in the year 2020, they may be thinking, how can my dream possibly have any chance at this point? What do you say to people who have a hard time believing that their dreams aren't completely dead?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I just want to empathize with that. That is a really lonely feeling where you feel like you're all alone in your dream. Like you've had this ambition, it was a relationship that didn't work, it was an ambition for a career that didn't happen, maybe a place you wanted to live that you couldn't. And so I just want to empathize and say that that is not lost on Jesus. But he also enters in, that Emmanuel, God with us. He just says, I'm going to be with you, whether you're like Tigger, like me, bouncing off the walls, or you're like sweet Maria Goff, who's just very present in the moment. She's just like, she is not a seven. She thinks having me in the room's a lot of people. She's like, oh, heck no. But to like just delight in who God made you to be. And so that's where the good stuff happens, where we just ask, like Jesus to the blind guy, what do you want? And it wasn't because Jesus was confused. I think he wanted to know of that guy, do you know what you want?
Right.
And so for each person listening, I would just say, like, do you know what you want? And don't give me a Sunday school answer. Don't say because you're supposed to want this. Just get real about it and just say, can you want God more than that? Can you want God more than the relationship that you lost or the economic headwinds that you're facing? To say, is there something I can learn in this? And so I don't want to gloss over that in the enthusiasm, but to also be joyful, to be who God made you to be. You know what I wanted? Wasn't high on the list, but kind of low, a 1962 Jeep Willys. And one, it just totally thrashed. It came up for sale. This thing, it's about older than me. And this Jeep, the thing about it, it can climb hills like a billy goat. Here's the problem. No brakes.
That's a problem.
So for a seven, I'm like, yes, this is like a ticket to a roller coaster every time. And you never know what tree you're going to hit. But for other people, this could be a time to just pump the brakes a little bit. You don't want to be all gas and no brakes. That's my takeaway. Yeah. I don't want to just be like, go, go, go. And Earth threw the entire sock drawer, which was your life, on the floor 6 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so now we get to match the socks. We can say, if I'm a new creation, what's new Bob look like? What's my big ambition? How am I going to get there?
Bob, I wanted to ask you, why do you think so many of us have a hard time believing that God is crazy about us?
Yeah, I think it would be these limiting belief, kind of like an underlying thing that if you see a role of a father is giving correction constantly. My dad loved me a lot, still does. He's 91 and lives right next door.
Wow.
And he taught me that rattlesnakes, what they do to get out of the sun, they go underneath logs. And so when you get to a log, you need to jump way out away from the log or it'll bite you. And I think he did this because he really loved me and he didn't want me to be bit by a rattlesnake, or he didn't want to suck the venom out of my calf. But one of the things that he did is inadvertently instilled a fear of me. Every time I see a log, do you know what I think? There's a rattlesnake underneath that log. Mm-hmm. And so it's this limiting belief. It's the thing, maybe your parents broke up when you were young, mm-hmm. and you just start thinking that eventually if I give myself away to somebody holy, they'll leave me. And you just need to figure out what that thing is so that you can do. Once you understand it, then we can fix it. We can just say, I'm going to bring it. This thing in Ephesians, to make your request known to God. It's not because he's confused about it. I think it's making it known to yourself so you can make it known to him and you can find some words to describe it.
Yeah.
A lot of us, some personality types, myself included, we have a hard time when we see those obstacles right in front of us because we're like, okay, I know what I should think and what I should believe and what I should dream, but there's this very real thing right there, and I don't see a way around it. What are some of the tools or thoughts or processes we can go through to circumvent or get over or get around these obstacles?
Yeah, we had a we live way out in the bush for about a quarter of the year, our nearest neighbor is 10,000 square miles away. Isn't that crazy? We make our electricity off a glacier. We grow our own food. We're like hippies without all the tie-dye t-shirts. And this rock fell down on this. So there's no roads for 100 miles, but I had built a road and a huge rock landed on this thing. Well, I tried to get around the rock, but I couldn't get around the rock. I tried to get over the rock, and I couldn't get over the rock. And so I blew the rock up.
where was this?
Here's the deal. The rock was the size of a school bus. I mean, it was just in the way. And here's my point. I think you need to take a look at it, but not think that God has thrown this big obstacle. I think some people talk a lot about open doors and closed doors. You've had an ambition for 20 years. You've always wanted to practice medicine or whatever it was. This was your ambition. And then so you apply and somebody says no for like this job that you wanted for 20 years. You apply and you get a no. I don't think that God shut the door. I think Billy said no. I think that's the entire transaction right there. And so I would go around it, over it, or I'm not saying blow up Billy, but I'm seeing what you need to do is figure out a way to do this, to say God has put something unique in your heart. Let's go for it. And if you feel a roadblock here, I'm saying, well, what can we build? A lot of the things that I wanted the most, I didn't get, and I'm so glad I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Boy, does that resonate for you guys? The things that you wanted the most, it was, you know, somebody, it was high school sweetheart, it was a car or whatever. And then you're just so grateful you didn't get it. Or for those things that you did get, you go like, actually, I didn't want it that bad. Yeah. One of the things we need to understand about ourselves and our faith is I want to want things that are going to outlast me. I want to want things that are going to stick around a lot longer than my kind of transitory. Mm-hmm. If I was on day one, if I said I wanted a horse, on day two, if I got the horse, you know what I'd be saying on day three? What horse? I'd be off to the next thing. Mm. And so I think God doesn't wave a bony finger at us, but I think his message to us throughout the scriptures is to want him.
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to do is remain undistracted by all these little things and to say, I just want Jesus.
That's good.
At seminary in London when I was 19, getting dumped very brutally by this bloke and been heartbroken, and then I saw a photo of him last week, and I was like, God, you're a merciful God. Yes. How you love me. How kind. Yes. That was a little mean. One of the things in your book, Bob, though, that I found I really related to is your earliest memory of shame. I don't think I'll ever look at an eraser the same again. How did you overcome that?
Yeah, we were talking in this idea of kind of going down this cave that is our life and to see what's been written on the walls. Mm-hmm. Because for some of us, we had something written on them that's just not true. It could be something as innocent as there's a rattlesnake under every log. It could be that you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not bright enough. You're not beautiful enough. You're not handsome enough. And so what we do is that I was talking about a pencil and an eraser was created 200 years after the pencil was invented. And so, I just think that's fascinating. But here's the deal. The eraser is here. What can we erase? What can we say is no longer true about us, or it was never true, but it got written on the wall and we passed by that so much that we actually believed is true. And what Jesus said is that we're his beloved. That's what's true. Mm-hmm. And if you're hearing another word, you're listening to this and you're hearing any word spoken over your shoulder, over your biggest screw up, it ain't Jesus talking.
I love that. That is huge. You say that, if you're going to take big risks, you're going to face plant big, but you should always hear that spoken over your shoulder. That's beautiful.
Oh, heck yeah. And then then I'm not just putting like a smiley face on these things where I felt at the time I was prevented. And then like you with that bloke, you found out you were protected, right? You might say I'm out, But then really a little bit later, you'll say, in fact, you've written way more books than I'll ever write. But one of the things about writing is that I never put a chapter title on until much later, because the better titles come later. And so if you're listening and you feel like the chapter of this is I'm all alone, just wait a little bit longer before you title this chapter in
that's
your life.
So
let Jesus
good.
Fill this in. Come up with a better title.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. One thing that you talk about that I kind of related to, and this probably says odd things about me, but you say there's a difference between dreaming and sleepwalking. And I know that I feel like so many times I'm just kind of going through life, doing the routine, and I'm not really dreaming, but I'm not really awake. It's just, what is the difference between pursuing a dream and just kind of sleepwalking it?
Yeah, you'll know one thing is you'll be taking notes. Like, I take notes on everything. This is a 1 hour of my life. I just like, I'm taking notes on things. Things that you said, I want the name of that bloke that dumped you foolishly. Like, one of the things that I want to do is take notes. And if we live engaged lives, we won't be distracted by all the other things. Because here's the deal. Satan doesn't need to destroy us. He just needs to distract us. Wow. And I just don't want to be given into it. I mean, we've got these crazy iPhones. They're constantly, this wouldn't be the first time an Apple did us in. But like this whole idea of just live lives undistracted to know what you want, why you want it. And then when there's things that happen along the way where you realize, oh my gosh, I've actually kind of just cruised through this dinner without actually, we were adjacent, we were in proximity to one another, but we weren't fully present. Wow. And you can do that. What if you do this? If you're tempted, let's say you have a career and you work during the day and then you come home, and change your clothes when you walk in the door. And then when you're tempted to go back and check this for messages, I want you to go and put a suit and tie on and then go check your messages. Because you'll be clear to yourself. Everybody else knows you're back at work. You'll know you're back at work. And then you can put it down and get back in your sweats and go about your day. But if we made it that obvious to us that we're like off track, we're deviating, because our attention is distracted. If I was talking to you, but I'm looking over here, you'd be like, what the heck? Be like.
right.
So I think that's Paul to us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and creator. And if you want to get distracted by something, you go suit up, get distracted, then you come back and get your eyes back fixed on Jesus.
One more question, and this is perhaps the toughest one for people. When we dream big, how do we know the difference between our dreams and God's dreams for us?
Oh, I'm telling you, here's the deal. You check for return addresses. And here's that you don't need somebody who's saying a plan for my life like it's a treasure map somehow in the back pocket of Jesus. In Matthew 25, hungry people, thirsty people, sick people, strange people, naked people, people in jail. James, like widows and orphans. There's your plan. So just it's hard to tell when people are hungry, but you can always tell if they're naked. I would say what I would try to do is actually do this. Ask people, are you hungry? Give them a pie. Give them a sandwich. Give them some. Say, are you thirsty? Like, I have little water bottles with me everywhere. I say, like, are you thirsty? And I give them a water bottle. So we start doing these things, James 1:22, don't just be hearers of this stuff and get distracted.
Wow.
But to do what it says. So there's your starting point. Matthew 25, just go right down the list and don't keep track, because your left hand and your right hand aren't supposed to know what they're doing. But that's a great guide.
What I love about that is then life is ministry. It's not something we do on special occasions. It's 24/7.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the crazy part is that you'll find what you're looking for. I had wanted this 62 Jeep for the longest time. As soon as I decided I wanted one, felt like every third car going by me was a 1962 Jeep, because you start seeing what you're looking for. And if you're looking for Jesus, even in some people that are really difficult, and there are difficult people everywhere. And here's the crazy part, listeners, you're one of them. I'm one of them. We're all a little less lovely than we'd like to think we are sometimes. But as our empathy and compassion grows for them, as we get our eyes fixed on Jesus and get about the stuff he said was important to him, These would be the conversations we'll have for eternity. We'll just start seeing the opportunities.
And you know what? Sheila, I know some people that are thirsty. You've seen some recently?
Yeah, absolutely. My recent trip in Africa, we found some people who were desperate for some clean water. So now we're going to show you how you can do what Bob's been talking about. And we're going to give some clean water to some thirsty people in Jesus' name. So they walk all this way, and this is what they come to.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, I mean, wow. Look at the flies and all that. That's just nasty.
Yeah.
That is so filthy. Good.
Wow. It's so hard, I mean, watching them pull this up, knowing that potentially this could make them so sick. They just want to...
She drinks at it.
But they're thirsty. It's all they've got. The thing that I find horrifying, honestly, Ralph, is not one of these children has ever had a glass of clean water. Not one in their whole life.
That's just... That makes
It's wrong. It's just wrong.
That breaks your heart. It's very dangerous, even deadly. We've heard stories of death.
This is normal for these children. They have to do this two or three times every day. So this water, this contaminated water, they think this is normal. That's all they've ever known. But when we come in with Life Today and we drill a well deep down, encase the well, suddenly clean water will become their new normal. I would never let my child drink water from this, and I don't want these children to do any more. Would you help us drill a well so that for the first time in their life, they have a new normal, fresh, clean water? But we need your help, and the need is urgent. We need your help now. I cannot even begin to tell you how that Zambia trip has impacted my life. I've been on lots of our missions trips before, and every one of them, I mean, every single one of them has left a mark in my heart. But somehow this trip, because I spent so much time with moms and their children, and the fact that that's all they have, and some of these women, they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get in line to get that horrible water. Because it's a well that they dig themselves, it doesn't go very deep, and there's a limit to the amount of water. And so if you're seventh in line or something, even though you got up at 4 a.m. and walked for miles, by the time it gets you, there's none left, and you have to wait for hours until it fills up again. To think that that's the only... And they're just like us. That's the thing that blew me away on this last trip. It's not like these are some different kinds of people. They're moms like you and like me. Or maybe you're a grandmother, or maybe you're a father, and you look at that and you think, there's no way I would let my child drink that. But they don't have any choice. But here's the deal. We do. I'll never forget seeing the water coming out of that. It was just, they go deep and deep and deep until the water is crystal clear. And the joy in the children's faces. We promised them that we will come back and we will tell their story. So we need you to help us. And honestly, Randy, it's very doable. It's not like we're asking for something that's impossible.
Oh, no. It's so possible. In fact, let me just break down some of the numbers so you can see what kind of impact you can have right now, today, because the average well costs about $4,800 to drill it and make it functional and encase it, make it suitable, where it's going to last for most people a lifetime. When you break that down, obviously, if you can give $4,800 to give a well, please, please do it. You will change people's lives forever, all in the name of Jesus. So do it. If you can partner with three others, so $1,200, you know, four of you doing that, you'll drill a well. But even if you can only give $48, do you know how many people that will provide clean drinking water for a lifetime? 10 people. $48, 10 people. $144, 30 people. I give those numbers to you just to illustrate how doing something means so much. Very little can change someone's life forever. And you know, 2020's been a rough year. I think one of the good things to come out of it may be that we see how we can each play a part in helping others in need. Just by doing a little bit, we can have a huge impact for good. I'm asking you to have that good impact in the name of Jesus today. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. And when you join us in Water for Life, you will be giving water for life.
Dirty, diseased-filled water. How desperate would a mother need to be to consider giving this contaminated substance to her child? For many mothers and their families living in extreme poverty, this is their only choice. With your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, disease-free water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish the final 150 water wells this year. Your gift of $48 will help provide water for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15. $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. And a gift of $4,800 will help sponsor a complete well, serving up to 1,000 people. With your gift, we'll send you Today is a Good Day seasonal devotional set. Broken out into the four seasons of the year, this beautiful set features a daily scripture, inspirational thoughts, and a place for you to journal your own thoughts, prayers, and insights from God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, request the leather-bound, life-giving Proverbs Journal, filled with wisdom and daily encouragement from Proverbs, including lined pages for your personal notes. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request a Mother's Strength bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Please do go to the phones. Go online right now. Give the best gift you can. We really can make a difference in these people's lives when we just give them some fresh, clean water. And you know, Sheila, there's something we'd like to give people today, just today, when they'll support Water for Life.
Ta-da! For any gift at all, we're going to send you Dream Big, Bob's new book, Know What You Want, Why You Want It, and What You're Going to Do About It. Bob, thank you so much for being our guest in life today. We love you.
What a treat to be with both of you. God bless you and your listeners, and just have them keep you just safe and thriving.
Thank you. And sweet Marie, too. Thanks for being with us today. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
Bye-bye.
Tomorrow on Life Today, award-winning composer and broadcast personality John Tesh openly shares his journey through a rare form of cancer. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.